Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Friday, April 26th. Ian Cameron with you. I don't know where Alex is, quite honestly, but hoping he's able to join us here in a few moments. And we are ready, though, for a Friday NHL card with four games tonight. This is a really exciting slate tonight. We've got three series that are locked up at one game apiece going into game three. And then, of course, you also have Rangers Capitals, with the Rangers trying to do what both Florida and Carolina did last night, seize complete control of the series and go up 3-0 tonight in that series. So we got four good games tonight. Looking forward to them. Before we get into that, just quickly on last night, it was a Patreon exclusive live betcast night. It was a lot of fun, as always. Appreciate those of you that joined us on the stream, those of you that tuned in. And if you joined us on the stream and you tuned in, that means you are subscribed as Patreon members, and we can't thank you enough for your support that you are Patreon members for just $10 per month. And very, very excited to have you supporting the show like that. And we've got another Patreon exclusive live betcast coming up on Tuesday next week. So make sure you join us for that. And if you're not subscribed yet, there's still plenty of time to get on board. Of course, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. But it was a fun betcast last night. And we had Jordan Sandbrook, an old friend of the show, currently playing in the East Coast Hockey League, Florida Everblades, in the first round of the Kelly Cup playoffs. He stopped in on the betcast last night as well for a little bit. So it was good to have him on the betcast last night as well. So once again, just a very fun night on the betcast, and looking forward again to the next one, which will be coming up on Tuesday next week, April the 30th. So definitely looking forward to that. Let's look back on last night. We had, of course, the two games, and really it was Florida and Carolina taking control of the series in both of those games. They ended up, it was a pretty solid night for both teams. Tampa Bay, you figured that this was not going to go well for them really early in that game, where we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning have multiple power play chances early, couldn't convert on any of them. And if their power play is not going, it's going to be tough for them in the series, because at 5-on-5, Florida has proven themselves to be the better team. So that's basically the way the game went. Definitely momentum toward the Florida Panthers after killing those penalties. Of course, they did tie it. It was a brutal beat for us with over 1.5 in the first period last night. It looked like the Tampa Bay Lightning tied it in the final seconds of the first period, but unfortunately, the goal gets called back due to offside, and as a result, the first period does stay under. But it's been a weird series with the totals, because first two games of the series in Florida, first period goes over and the full game stays under. We saw the reverse happen last night. First period actually stayed under and the full game ended up going over the total. So we're definitely excited to see how this goes, but definitely I like the way Florida responded. And really, when you look at it, how great they were on the penalty kill last night, with just taking away all the offensive end of the ice, sticks in the passing lane, It was very difficult for Tampa Bay to move the puck seamlessly in the offensive zone, especially when they had the man advantage. You just have to give Florida a ton of credit for that, you know, and the way they were able to get the job done with the penalty kill. So great job again by Florida last night. They get the win over the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now they go up a commanding 3-0 in the series. Bobrovsky was very solid again in victory. There's not really much he could have done about any of the goals, really, that Tampa Bay scored. One's a seeing eye shot. One was the Stamkos deflection. One was a terrific pass to Nick Paul, who cashed a goal prop for us, by the way, last night to make it interesting at the end. But nevertheless, Florida gets the job done. Exactly, Scott Carpenter. Exactly. Finally hit on Nick Paul. It was bound to happen. You know, the guy has really stepped his game up offensively, you know, late in the season. He had chances in the first two games. So it was really nice to see him finally get the get on the board and score that goal for Tampa Bay last night, even in a losing effort like it was. Carolina and the New York Islanders, you knew it was going to be trouble for the Islanders as soon as they fell behind 2-0 in that game. You can't dig yourself a hole against Carolina and expect to live to tell about it and come out on the winning end of it. They did battle back. Patrick Waugh, the Ilya Sorokin switch in goal did not last long. He ended up getting pulled, and they ended up going back to Semyon Varlamov in that game. And he's already confirmed that Semyon Varlamov will be in net for a must-win game four facing elimination for the New York Islanders on Saturday afternoon. I'm not sure it's going to matter, you know, at this point of the series. But again, credit to the Carolina Hurricanes. They take a 3-0 series lead. They got some key saves from Frederik Andersen. I will say this about the Islanders. The third period, they did show some life. They cut it to 3-2. They had some chances. A tremendous save sitting on his backside, essentially. Frederik Andersen somehow reached up, got the glove on it. It was a really good save to be able to keep that Carolina lead intact. And then they pulled the goalie. And what I was impressed with Carolina is they gave the Islanders very little when the Islanders had that extra attacker in the final minute or two in the third period. It was just, they were swarming the Islanders. The Islanders really could not get set up in the offensive zone. It just, you know, typical Carolina. This team, very adept at defending, very adept at protecting a lead. And they did so once again last night in that 3-2 win over the New York Islanders. So Hurricanes win, Panthers win, pushing the Lightning and the Islanders respectively to the brink of elimination and the brink of getting swept here in the first round. All right, let's get into tonight's games. We've got four on tap. We will begin with the New York Rangers taking on the Washington Capitals. 2-0 series lead for the Rangers. Minus 170 road favorites, the Rangers here in this one. Total 5.5 pretty much across the board in this game. You know, the Washington Capitals, better effort from them in game two. Certainly offensively it was. They did not generate enough chances, shots. It was a very, 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 very poor effort offensively in terms of just getting opportunities in game one. They certainly did a better job of that in game two. They got the first goal early in the first period. Unfortunately, they've taken some penalties. The Ranger power play has ate them alive throughout the course of this series. And it seems like, you know, the more this series goes on, you know, we're not seeing Charlie Lindgren play like he did late in the regular season when he was a brick wall in victory against Philadelphia and a brick wall in victory against Boston and a brick wall in victory against Detroit. You know, those huge games down the stretch of the regular season where Charlie Lindgren just stood on his head, made 30, 40 saves even in a few of those games and just, you know, powered this Caps team to victory in those games. And, you know, he just hasn't been as sharp and on top of it here in this series. And it's pretty much made all the difference in the world because for better or worse, if the Capitals are going to win games in this series and give the Rangers any sort of push, you know, and threat in this series, he's got to be 10 out of 10 almost as far as his performance in net. He's got to be that good for them, you know, if they're going to have a chance here in this series. And unfortunately, his play has declined a little bit, and we've seen it affect Washington's ability here to shut down this Rangers attack. And, you know, the Rangers are a scary group up front when they've got things rolling. You know, they got Matt Rempe scoring a goal already in this series down on the fourth line. You know, they've got a pretty solid third line, Kako, Wenberg, and Cooley. But right now, Kreider, Zibanejad, Roslovic, Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere, the top six forwards for the New York Rangers are making a difference, you know, and they are all contributing to the offensive production and the output that we're seeing from this group. Like I said, they've been certainly good with the man advantage. The one flaw, I guess you could say, the Rangers had, you know, late in the season was their 5-on-5 offense kind of stagnated at times. Not always would you see them be able to get the goal scoring production consistently from a 5-on-5 standpoint. But here in this series, they've scored 8 goals. Only 2 of them have been on the power play. 6 of them have been at even strength. So clearly the even strength offense has been no problem for the New York Rangers here in this series tonight. You do expect Washington back home here. This is a team that was not in the playoffs last year, obviously. So the fans are probably going to be into this. This is the first playoff game they've been able to see for the Washington Capitals in a couple of years. They're not going down without a fight when you've got the likes of a Tom Wilson and a John Carlson and a TJ Oshie and an Alex Ovechkin on the team. They're not rolling over. And we saw that in game two. That was a better game two, even in another loss for the Washington Capitals. I don't trust them to win the game, but I do think they have a solid start here on home ice. We saw them score a goal in the opening period of game two, coming off the loss that they suffered in game one. And that goes right to where I'm looking in this game with the primary bet that I have. I don't really have much side or total here in this game. This is also a game too where I could be talked into potentially a draw, a 2-0 series lead with the scene shifting with a desperate home team down 0-2. Sometimes can be a good angle and a good situation to bet the draw. So I might sprinkle on that. But other than that, the only thing I have pregame here with the Rangers and Capitals is the Capitals to score a goal in the first period. And you can find that at a very cheap price. We're talking -130 to -135 for the Washington Capitals to score a goal in the opening 20 minutes of this game. I think it's got a reasonable chance to happen, but I don't want to ask the Washington Capitals offense to do too much for me either here in this game. I prefer, in fact, the Capitals getting on the board early in the first period than taking their full game team total of over 2.5 at -110. Again, the first period team total here in this game for the Capitals, just asking them to score one goal. That's it. -125, in fact, at BetMGM. It's an even better price there for the Caps to get on the board in the opening period. I think that's the angle. I think that's a good look. I think they've got it in them to maybe jump on the Rangers quickly in a spot where they have to win this game. They scored a goal in the first. I like their start to the game in game two at Madison Square Garden. So, and the price is more than reasonable, you know, to only lay $1.25 with Washington to get a goal in the first period. I'm very content with that. So for me, going to go in that direction, just Capitals first period goal, -125. It's really it. And maybe a small sprinkle on the draw here in this game. Like I said, I could make a small case for the Capitals team total over 2.5, but there is nothing that I want on my betting card tonight that includes Washington winning this game. So no money line, nothing of that regard. As far as props tonight in this game, I'm going to go back to the well with Connor McMichael. I mentioned him in game two, playing on the top line and centering it. He's got to get some kind of offensive production going from this team. So I do like the prop for him maybe to find the back of the net tonight for the Capitals in this game. You know, for the New York Rangers, I still think there's great value on, and he scored in game two, Jack Roslovic, playing alongside Zibanejad and Kreider. He's really starting to get comfortable playing with those two players. We saw him score a nice goal in game two. Jack Roslovic, there's still some good value for his props there. Lafreniere on the second line I'm interested in as well. Those are the main ones from a goal-scoring standpoint side on the New York Rangers. Like I said, for Washington, McMichael, my favorite prop look for them here in this game tonight. We'll see how that one goes. And like I said, my favorite look in this game, and a game that of all the four games, this is the game I have the lightest betting volume tonight. I have more and more money in the other games tonight than this one. But for me, yes, I like the first period of Washington to get on the board at -125. Yeah, John Carlson, don't give up on him. I agree. Actually, that's not a bad thought. A couple people in the chat saying John Carlson goal. He went through this little run down the stretch of the regular season where he was starting to shoot more, put the puck in the net. Hasn't gone in for him yet in this series, but maybe back on home ice, a little bit better, a matchup situation for him tonight in game three, being back home. So I don't mind taking a shot again with John Carlson there. All right, next game. Western Conference first round, game three, Vancouver Canucks, Nashville Predators, even money, minus 110, both sides, 5.5 the total here in this game. The Thatcher Demko news, which we heard a few days ago, out for game two, probably missing the rest of the series. It looks like it's going to get worse, not better, for Thatcher Demko and the Canucks, because it's sounding more and more like his season might be done. So if somehow the Canucks get past Nashville here in the first round, they don't have him available in the second round either, and possibly for the rest of the playoffs. So how does this Vancouver team respond? And it's got to be tough because Casey DeSmith, they're trying to get the players to believe in what they get from him in net with Demko out. Crowd tries to get him confident early on with the Casey chance at the beginning of game two, and the puck goes in past him as the chants are ongoing in the first minute. I mean, it's about the worst start you could ever imagine. But Vancouver showed me some resolve. They showed me some fight here. Going into this in game two, despite the fact they gave up the goal early, they ended up falling behind, by a score of 3-0 Nashville at one point. Bad rebound control on the third goal that Nashville scored. But they made it 3-1, and when they got it to 3-1, they really started to press Nashville big time, and they had a couple of glorious chances. They had multiple good high danger looks. They only had 18 shots in game two, but it sure felt like almost half of them were really good looks and good chances on UC Saros, and he had to be really good in the second and the third period when Nashville got that lead, because I thought Vancouver definitely came on better as the game went on. I like both teams to score in the first period. I like over trifecta here, but I like the over first. I like both teams to score in the first period. I think we get a 1-1 first period here, honestly. I think Nashville against DeSmith and the Canucks back home feed off the energy of the Music City crowd, and that is one of the better environments in the playoffs in Nashville. When they're in the playoffs, that's a good home environment. I think they get on the board. I think Vancouver off a loss is a good, look to see them maybe find the back of the net early here in this game. So I like the over trifecta, but I like the first period both teams to score just as much, if not more, than the over 1.5. And also the over 5.5 here for the full game. I think Vancouver, as much as Rick Tocchet wants a tight defensive mindset with his hockey team, you got to start scoring some goals here. One's not going to do it, especially now when you have Thatcher Demko out. Nashville's done a great job in the shooting lane. It's been a low shot volume. Certainly it was in game two. And even in game one, the shots on goal were not at a high volume. And Rick Tocchet said it. We've got to play a more north-south game, move our feet faster, move the puck faster, and make sure we open up shooting lanes. With passing the puck quickly, players moving around in the offensive zone, nobody stationary. So all of the talk from Rick Tocchet was how can we open things up for our game offensively going into game three tonight. So when I hear quotes like that, kind of makes me think we're going to see a little bit more of an open game than we did in game two. Keep in mind, game one did go over the total. Game two went under. Starting to have me thinking we might have a zigzag series as far as the totals are concerned. So it's over trifecta for me. That's it. I'm not on a side here. I don't want to sell Vancouver short because I know Nashville is going to be popular. They've got momentum. They're at home, which is a very good home ice in the playoffs. And obviously a lot of lack of faith right now for the Canucks, especially with Casey DeSmith and net. I get all of that, but Vancouver is going to push back strong tonight. Will it be enough to win? That remains to be seen. This is another one where the draw, I'm interested in it. I'm going to probably put a few bucks on the draw. This feels like this could be a close game, tight game. Vancouver off a loss. Nashville is going to want to put a good foot forward at home for the first time in this series. So, yeah, the draw, I think, could get there in this one. As far as the props go, we'll start with Vancouver, since they're the road team as far as props go. Suter's got value with Miller and Besser, so there's definitely some value with his props. I mean, I'm definitely not going near Elias Pettersson until I see some signs of life from him, and we haven't seen it so far. Maybe you go back to the well with Dakota Joshua. On the blue line, look, Quinn Hughes has been shooting the puck a lot. He had two assists in game one. He had almost a chance to score the other night. So, you know, for me, you know, Quinn Hughes to get over 1.5 points, you'll get a decent price on that. I'm interested. And then on Nashville's side, you've got obviously Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist. It's hard to talk anyone out of betting their props. Forsberg had a goal and an assist in game two. He's almost a, you got to take him every game at this point with just how on fire and just how consistent Philip Forsberg has been from one game to the next. And I'll throw out a couple there on that. That second line, whether it's Zucker, whether it's Colton Sissons, who's a Vancouver native, by the way, and he always seems to make an impact when he plays the Canucks. He scored in the last game too. So don't sleep on maybe a Colton Sissons goal prop for Nashville tonight. Zucker as well, he scored in game one. And same thing with Anthony Beauvillier. Beauvillier found the back of the net in game two as well. I think when you look at that second line, they have stepped up and they have finally provided some support offensively for the, you know, the top line that's carried Nashville for much of the season, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist unit. So, you know, Sissons, Beauvillier, and Zucker have been that, wow, finally, there's some support being given offensively to that dominant top line for the Nashville Predators. So I don't mind taking a look at those three guys as far as the prop market goes. You can't sleep on Thomas Novak or Evangelista either. They've been pretty quiet, those two, but now they're at home. They're going to get probably better lineup line matchups here now that they have last line change being back at Bridgestone Arena. So they could be have some value as well here tonight in the game. But like I said, I think this is going to be a game where it does open up a little bit more over trifecta. And I really think this is a good both teams to score first period spot. I do think 1-1 is in the cards here, the opening 20 minutes of this game here tonight. All right, Western Conference first round, game three, Winnipeg Jets, Colorado Avalanche. Colorado minus 165, home favorites. 6.5 the total now, series tied 1-1. I'm still stunned that game one had a 5.5 total. Obviously, we saw that wild 7-6 shootout. Game two, they adjusted it up to 6. A little bit more work to get that one over the total, but it still did. 5-2 in favor of the Colorado Avalanche. And do have to, and we said it yesterday, I won't belabor the point, but we do have to give Colorado's defense, which struggled a lot late in the season, as did Alexander Georgiev, a lot of credit. They answered the bell. They know the play of the defense and the goaltending combined was subpar, and they really worked hard to fix it in game two. They played a better game in front of the goalie. And Alexander Georgiev, when that game was still 4-2 Colorado in the third period, he did have to make a few good saves, and he did. Made a couple of really good saves. And you can see the celebration in the dressing room, winning that game too, getting the split in Winnipeg, that they really cared about putting a good foot forward for their embattled goaltender, Alexander Georgiev, who has faced so much criticism, without a doubt, going into that game too, and how bad he was in game one and how awful he was down the stretch. And it was definitely a step in the right direction for Colorado defensively and for Alexander Georgiev in net. But I want to see it again before I'm convinced that they've totally righted the ship as far as the goals against and as far as the confidence level of Alexander Georgiev. So keep that in mind. I mean, I think I'd be a little concerned here about where this is. And then you flip this around here to where this price point is. And you're always, when you're talking Colorado at Ball Arena, including in the playoffs, it always seems like you're paying a big-time premium to back the Colorado Avalanche, you know, at home. I mean, what did we see this price at for the two games in Winnipeg with these two teams, the Avs and the Jets? Winnipeg in the first round, in game one at home, it was basically even money, you know, minus 105, minus 110 both sides. And then, of course, Winnipeg closed a slight home underdog in game two. And yet now the scene switches here to Colorado. And instead of Colorado laying, you know, minus 130, minus 140, even minus 150, which even then I think is a little bit of a stretch, minus 170 is where this opened. No, from a value standpoint, that's not the right price point for this series. Colorado is not, even on home ice, minus 170, in my opinion, over this Winnipeg team, especially with Winnipeg off a loss. Especially with Winnipeg coming into a building where they've won twice already this season, 2-0, this season, once in the regular season, the 7-0 beatdown at the end of the regular season. And to me, this has the makings of a back and forth, very close, hard fought, competitive series. To me, you can take Colorado if you want, but you're not paying a premium for them here in this game at this price. You're just not here when going into this tonight. So, like I said, I'm on Winnipeg here, +145. This is just too inflated of a price to me to trust Colorado and that shaky defense. And Georgiev's all of a sudden fixed after one game. No, I'm not buying it. I need to see it. Again, a good performance. I'm on that. I'm on the team total over at the nice cheap 2.5 with the Winnipeg Jets here, -135, -140 here in this game as well. I'm perfectly content asking Winnipeg to score just 3 goals here against Colorado and Georgiev here in this spot. That's the way I see it here as far as that goes. It's going to be a 60-40 split for me. I'm going to go 60% on the team total over for Winnipeg, 40% on the money line. Because this could be a game where it's 4-3 Colorado or 5-3 Colorado. Team total hits, the money line doesn't. So I do want to have a greater percentage of my investment here on the team total for Winnipeg as opposed to the money line, I should say. So it's definitely a 60-40 split for me. 60 on the team total, over 2.5 for Winnipeg, around -135, -140, and then 40% on the +145. It seems to be the best price you can find right now with the money line here. I am back on the full game over 6.5 in this game, but I will talk about something in the Edmonton LA game that I'm doing with this game and that game, and I've got a lot more on that, and I'll mention it in a moment. As far as props for this game here tonight, it's a good prop game. I do agree with the sentiment that a lot of the people in the chat do, that as far as Nathan McKinnon's concerned, I get that feeling he's got another level he can get to after what we've seen here in the first 2 games. Keep in mind, with McKinnon in game 2, he did only have 1 point, 1 assist, and 2 shots on goal. It was a pretty damn quiet night for Colorado for Nathan McKinnon in game 2. At home, he shoots the puck a ton. At home, it seems to be even better than he is on the road. Most of his dominance has been at home this year. So it feels like a night for Nathan McKinnon where if you go over shots or you go for him to score a goal or over 1.5 points, he could have his fingerprints all over the score sheet here tonight in this game, possibly. Val Nichushkin, I like as well. And I'm going to go back to the well with the old man, Zach Parise. Zach Parise, man, as long as he stays on the top line for Colorado, we saw him find the back of the net in game 2. He's still getting, excellent price, in the +350 to +400 range for Zach Parise to score a goal tonight. You got to look at that kind of a value when he's going to be placed with McKinnon and Rantanen. There's still value there, in my opinion, with Zach Parise for the Colorado Avalanche as far as their goal props are concerned going into this game. Lekkonen has been great. Don't stop looking at Arturi Lekkonen either for the Colorado Avalanche. He's been very impactful. He's had his fingerprints offensively all over this series so far as well in the first 2 games. For Winnipeg, Kyle Connor, I think he's a good look. I remember he played a great game in Colorado late in the regular season. Gabe Vilardi, I think he could take his game to another level. I don't want to say he's been bad. He had a bad play defensively in game 2, which really hurt Winnipeg. He's just been a little quiet for my liking. He's had some chances. I think Gabe Vilardi can get things going a little bit tonight. It does feel, too, like a lot of people in the chat saying Tyler Toffoli, it feels like he's got to get going a little bit. He's a veteran guy. He usually is a guy that elevates his game at playoff time, but yeah, he's been pretty quiet. First 2 games here, 3 shots on goal combined, no points so far. Does feel like a little bit of a buy low spot looking toward Tyler Toffoli potentially here in the game tonight. And I'm going to go back to the well with the captain of the Jets, Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry had 2 goals in game 1, did not score in game 2, did not hit the score sheet in game 2, but I thought he was very noticeable again. He was taking the body. He played a physical style of game. Still had chances, multiple shots on goal in game 2. And I think there's still amazing value when you're looking at Adam Lowry. And in a game like this too, the captain leads by example, coming off a loss. You'd expect him to have another hard, strong effort, crash the net, look for a greasy goal that way. That's how he scores, Adam Lowry. So, and like I said, he's been a good playoff performer. Going back to the start of the playoffs last year, the Vegas first round series, which Winnipeg lost, and this series combined, I think we are at 6 goals in the postseason for Adam Lowry between last year's first round and the first 2 games of this year's playoffs combined. So you've got someone that's got that kind of, you know, track record of stepping up offensively in the playoffs like Lowry. I do think it's worth a look once again for his props here tonight. Should be a fun game. This whole series has been fun. This has been a exciting series. It certainly hasn't been a dull one. It's been end-to-end action. It's just been a lot of fun and just a lot of exciting hockey with these two teams, and we'll see if that continues. One last thing, and this is the thing that concerns me the most about backing Winnipeg tonight, even though I don't think they fear playing in Denver because they've won there twice already this year. I don't want to say Hellebuck's been bad in 2 games, but he can be better. He can be a lot better. He's going to have to be a lot better. You know, for as much as Georgiev's got these issues, and at game one he was brutal, Connor Hellebuck does need to step it up a little bit because his play has to be a little bit better than it's been so far in the first 2 games. And if it's not, and it's going to be another one of those games where, you know, he's given up 4 or 5, it's going to make it tough on Winnipeg. So, again, this is a guy that in the regular season pretty much make the consensus argument. He was the best goalie in the NHL this season during the regular season, but he does have that little monkey on the back right now of that the playoff performances have not exactly matched at times what he's done in the regular season. So this is a good. This is going to end up being a big start for him. Dare I say it, let's say Colorado, and hopefully not, being on the Jets money line, although I have the Jets team total more than the money line, so that's why I have them more on the money on the team total than the money line, because it wouldn't totally shock me if Colorado wins and it's like a 5-3 or a 6-4 type of game, and the Jets team total hits, but they lose. That's why I wanted to put more of my bet with Winnipeg on the team total than the money line. I feel more comfortable, a little safer with that. But what if this is a game where Colorado and they get the onslaught going at home? They put up 6 spot or a 7 spot. I'm not saying it'll happen, but let's say what if, hypotheticals. What if Colorado scores 6 or 7 tonight? I think at that point, as crazy as it is to say for a guy that might end up winning the Vezina Trophy for his regular season performance, Rick Bonus might actually consider Laurent Brossoit in game 4, who's actually been awesome for the Winnipeg Jets. He's been terrific for them in a backup role. Outstanding, in fact. Really good, Laurent Brossoit, every time we've seen him. So it's going to be very interesting. And keep in mind, before he got injured in the playoffs last year for Vegas, he was playing pretty well for them as well before Aiden Hill had to take over the net in the playoffs last year. So crazy as it is to say that, but it might get to that point at some point. Like if Colorado starts to, you know, take that step forward and start to assert dominance in this series. So it's just going to be very interesting to see if it gets to that point. Of course, this could be vintage Hellebuck tonight where he looks at Vezina Trophy form and he makes 48 saves and Winnipeg wins on the road. That could happen too. It's just a lot of variance right now, especially with Hellebuck at the moment. So that's why we watch. That's why we tune in, especially at this time of year. We're fascinated by all these storylines that weave about in the middle of a hotly contested series like this, and certainly the goaltending really on both sides is one of those big-time storylines when it comes to Jets and Avs. All right, final game of this Friday slate, Edmonton Oilers, Los Angeles Kings, Edmonton minus 140, road favorites, 6.5 the total here in this game. This series is tied at 1 game apiece. Bit surprised that it is tied, but because I thought LA would really give Edmonton a tough game too, and they did. But I wasn't totally sold on them winning, which is why in game 2, I was on only LA to score in the first period, LA team totals as well for the game over 2.5. But I wasn't totally sure they'd find a way to actually pull that game out and win it. But they jumped on Edmonton early. They got Stuart Skinner on a bit of a down night from him. It was not one of his better games. And the Kings offense finally sprung to life a little bit. And more than anything, I thought, the two guys that have been there, done that, as far as winning championships, winning Stanley Cups for the LA Kings, Drew Doughty and Andrei Kopitar, They led by example in game two. They really did. I mean, they were absolutely tremendous in that game. You could tell that, hey, don't underestimate the heart of a champion. And those are two multiple-time Stanley Cup championship players for the LA Kings, and they both played outstanding in game two, helping the Kings tie up that series going into game three tonight. Will that continue here in this one? You know, when you look at Connor McDavid, it's pretty crazy to see what happened in game two in Edmonton, that you look at Edmonton's performance. They still scored four goals, even though they lost in overtime. But for McDavid in particular in that game the other night, and you look at his play, just the one assist, you know, one shot on goal. You know, it kind of feels like we talked about this in the last game with Nathan MacKinnon for Colorado, that he was just way more quiet than he's accustomed to. And definitely you could say the same thing about Connor McDavid in game two. So you got to think this could be a powder keg waiting to explode here for number 97 tonight for the Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid. Because how many times have we seen this in his career? When he's that quiet one night, a lot of times, you know, you're going to see him explode possibly the next night. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out when it's all said and done. But I would expect definitely better things here tonight from Connor McDavid here in this game and from Edmonton overall going into this matchup against the LA Kings. Just deciding how I want to go about it. I mean, minus 140, I was hoping for a little bit of a better price with Edmonton here, minus 140. Going into this game against the LA Kings. You look at that first period team total situation. Now, this is another situation for me where I like Edmonton early, you know, to kind of have a good response following the overtime setback in game two. But again, the reason why I'm a lot more fearful of the puck line bets right now in these playoffs with teams like Edmonton is because you're just never sure if their defense and in this case, Stuart Skinner can shut the door totally. So I'm going to do a little over one and a half team total split on the Oilers in the first period, over one plus 135, over one and a half plus 250 first period. I'm also going to go with the full game team total over for Edmonton. I just feel more comfortable about that than laying a buck 40. With the Oilers on the money line, because look, Kings are at home, and are they going to be able to shut down LA after what we saw in game two? You know, that remains to be seen. And besides, if Edmonton wins this game, and I do lean again to them, and I would have been on the money line if the price was better. We've said this all the time, right? When Edmonton wins, 90% of the time they score at least four goals in their victories. You know, you just don't get Edmonton winning 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 very often. Usually if the Oilers are going to win, they're going to get to four goals. And that's why for me, at least from a value standpoint, if Edmonton wins this game, my guess is they probably got an awesome chance to get four goals. That's the way I approach it usually with Edmonton. So rather than, you know, the minus 140 that we're seeing right now with Oilers money line here in this game tonight, definitely more interested in the team total over three. And you know what I'm going to do? Over three is minus 155 at BetMGM. Over three and a half plus 100 at BetMGM. And by the way, that's actually a better price, I believe, at Pinnacle with the Oilers team total over three and a half. Plus 112 with that here in this game with the Oilers team total. I believe that's what it was last I checked at Pinnacle. Was over three and a half at plus 115 at Pinnacle. That's a really good price on that team total. So we'll see how that goes. So the total is interesting. We've seen two games fly over the total, right, in this series. First two games have flown over the total. First game, though, the total was 5.5. Second game, the total was 6. Now we're seeing a 6.5 with a shift in venue. So I'm a little bit more leery of this. And I remember last year in the series between the Oilers and Kings in the first round, every game went over the total except one. And it was this spot when we went to game three in LA after the first two games in Edmonton, and it ended up being 3-2. So that's my only fear. But I look at all the metrics, and I actually made a point of it. I wanted to see the expected goal numbers are off the charts in the first two games of this series. to me, which means that, yes, we've seen both games fly over the total, but they haven't flown over the total by accident. This is not one of those games where, oh, there's been a shit ton of goals, 9 in game 2, 11 in game 1. Oh, but you know what? The expected goals were only 3.6 to 2.5, and it should have been, you know, lower scoring. No, the expected goal numbers in this series are close to, not quite up there with what the actual goal output has been, but they are closer. The expected goal numbers are closer to what we've actually seen than to where it's, you know, a lower scoring expected goal number. So there's been nothing fluky. It's been more wide open than I think the Kings would like, but that's kind of the way it's been in this series so far. And the Kings have clearly shown, especially the Adrian Kempe, and we'll get to him in a moment, you know, that they've got offense that can do damage against Edmonton. So I am going to jump on the over again. I don't like it as much as game one, certainly, and I don't like it as much as game two even. But what I do like, and this goes back, remember in the last game I hinted at this, I am on a two-game parlay with the Winnipeg-Colorado game and this game, Edmonton-LA. And the parlay is this, because, you know, the 6.5s in both games I like, but there's just that little part of me that's just a little leery of both of them, that maybe, you know, we have one of these games where a goalie, you know, gets hot, Talbot Skinner in the LA-Edmonton game, or Hellebuck Georgiev in the Winnipeg-Colorado game. And there's just something that keeps them from getting both games getting to 7 goals. But what I do like is the idea of getting both of these games down to 5.5 with the full game total. So what I've moved on here in these two games is a two-game parlay, two-game totals parlay. Winnipeg, Colorado over 5.5. Edmonton, Los Angeles over 5.5. And that is plus 156 right now at Pinnacle. And if you, regardless of what book you put this bet in, you're probably going to get at the very least plus 140, plus 145 on this. So again, that's over 5.5, full game for both the Jets and the Avs and the Oilers and the Kings. And I have more money placed on that than the individual full game overs at 6.5 for both the Oilers and Kings and the Avalanche and the Jets. I find that's definitely a bet I feel comfortable with. Getting both of these games at over 5.5, Winnipeg, Colorado, and Edmonton, LA. I feel very good that both can get to 6 at the very least. No question about that. So I think that's great value too. At Pinnacle, it's plus 156 to parlay together Winnipeg, Colorado over 5.5, and Edmonton, LA over 5.5. So I'm going that approach here tonight with those two games. And then as far as props for this game, let's start with Edmonton. Adam Henrique, great value still, as long as he stays with McDavid and Hyman. Totally agree. You got to keep rolling with Henrique. Fogle on the second line with Draisaitl. There's good value there. I'm going to go even down the well with Dylan Holloway for the Edmonton Oilers. I know he's down on the fourth line with Carrick and Janmark, but this guy has stepped into this series and he's played very well. He had a 2-goal performance against LA in game 2. He had chances, in my opinion, in game 1 as well. Dylan Holloway's got some pretty good value for his props tonight. Yeah, Matias Ekholm is involved in the offense, and he jumps into the play at times. He does shoot the puck more often. So, you know, taking a shot, you know, you're getting in the plus 800 or so range for him to score a goal. Not the worst idea in the world. For Los Angeles, Kempe, Kopitar, you know, Laferriere, I'm going to be stubborn when it comes to him because he hasn't done a whole lot in this series offensively, but as long as he stays with Kopitar and Kempe, and maybe now with this series shifting to LA and Crypto Arena back home, puck's going to go in for him eventually because Kopitar's playing well. Kempe's been on fire. Kempe is up there as far as the series leader and expected goals generated, high danger chances. He's been dangerous almost every shift he's been on the ice, so it's almost a must at this point that you have to bet Adrian Kempe here to score a goal tonight for the Los Angeles Kings with how tremendous he has been. We'll see about Fiala and Byfield maybe down the lineup as well. Keep an eye on that. Byfield, you know, he hasn't scored yet in this series, but he does have 3 points, all of them assists so far in this series. And I like the effort we've seen from him. He's been noticeable. He's been making good plays with the puck. Like I say, facilitating, finding his line mates. He's also gone to the front of the net as well. So I am definitely liking what I'm seeing there from Quinton Byfield's game. So taking a shot with some props for him, I wouldn't talk anyone out of that either. All right, great stuff. That is the Friday card. Shout out to everyone in the chat. We appreciate it very much. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. 262 live viewers. A reminder, we've got one more Patreon exclusive live betcast here in the month of April, and it comes your way next Tuesday, April the 30th. Looking forward to it. It is our final betcast of the month. We are close to announcing the next set of Stanley Cup playoff live betcasts for the beginning of May. We'll probably have an announcement on that by Monday next week, and we'll start to let you know when our next betcasts are following that one on April 30th on Tuesday, which is a Patreon exclusive once again. And a reminder, the only way to tune in and join us on Tuesday's betcast, April 30th next week, sign up, just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you'll have access to all of our exclusive live betcasts, daily sides, totals, player props posted on the page each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content, including player suite interview series returning in the off season. Make sure you sign up and subscribe, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. I'm just going to do a check, and I believe we've got a sale again up available right now on the Ice Guys store at the moment. So keep an eye on that. Yes, save 50% off today and the next 4 days right now. So again, next 4 days, get 15% off any purchase you make at the Ice Guys store. So make sure you check that out, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, we got bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsors, Boston Hemp Inc.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night for this Friday slate. Lots to choose from. Four really good games taking place here tonight in NHL action. Lots of good choices out there going into this game tonight. I'm going to go to there's some good choices. As you can tell, I'm having a hard time choosing one here tonight, going into this four-game slate. I've got a good feeling about, even though he's down on the fourth line, I've got a good feeling about Dylan Holloway. I really do. And the price is just outstanding. Plus 725 at Betano for Dylan Holloway of the Edmonton Oilers. Thought he had a phenomenal game, too, for the Edmonton Oilers in that one. Yeah, Parise was up there, too, Rocco. I got to admit, that was high up there on the list. But I'm going for a real big one. I'm going for a big score. I just like the price better on Dylan Holloway. And I like that he's playing on the Edmonton team off a loss. I expect another good effort coming off that unfortunate overtime loss. So I'm going to go with Dylan Holloway. I love that price to me is just too large for him, considering the way he's played here the last couple of games here for Edmonton. So Dylan Holloway, Edmonton Oilers, plus 725. I'm going to roll with that for my a bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bet for this Friday card. I'm going to that Winnipeg team total. Over 2.5. We're not asking Winnipeg to, you know, do anything but just score 3 goals in this game against a Colorado team that I'm not sold on yet defensively, or Georgiev, just because of one really good game. I need to see more of it. Winnipeg has had no problem scoring and playing Colorado in that building all season long. And you have this Jets team coming off a loss, going on the road. The team bands together, and I think has a really strong game. I think they got a great chance to win the game. But let's go safer here, and let's just ask Winnipeg to score 3 goals tonight in bounce-back mode off the Game 2 loss to the Colorado Avalanche the other night. So that's what we're going to roll with. Winnipeg Jets team total over 2.5, minus 140. That is going to be my best bet here for this Friday NHL card. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. We've got a great couple of shows coming up this weekend. We've got guests both days. Kyle Bond, old friend of the show, he'll be on with us tomorrow. And Jeremy Williams, longtime professional hockey player, briefly in the NHL, Toronto Marlies organization, Leafs organization, you know, a couple others in the NHL. Then he played in Europe for years. Jeremy Williams will be with us on Sunday. So a couple of guests coming up this weekend on the Ice Guys show. Looking forward to that. Reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And a reminder one more time, too, about the podcast. Very important. Make sure you bookmark the new home of the podcast, Bleav.com. That is Bleav.com. So again, that's Bleav.com. You go to that website, you go to shows, you search for the Ice Guys, and you'll definitely find us there. That is our new podcast page home, where you can download the podcast audio version of the show each and every day. So again, Bleav.com. The Bleav Network is our new podcast page home for the Ice Guys. So again, make sure you're aware of that and bookmark that page and check it out each and every day to download the podcast version of the show. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Friday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will be back with you tomorrow on Saturday for another edition of the Ice Guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.